Thank you. All right, be seated. Yeah. All right. Well, okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Talk about love today. We're not. Just want to get your attention. First Corinthians chapter 13. I wish you hadn't brought up the Spirit Week thing. That was, my spirit kind of went down when you pray for me. I'm still in therapy, but I've improved a lot, so. First Corinthians 13, we're going to start reading in verse number 8. The Bible says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And of course, this is the famous love chapter. And here in this particular passage, God uses the Apostle Paul to talk about what life is like now compared to what life is going to be like in heaven. And if you look back in verse number 9, he says, for we know in part. That means there's some things we understand about God and about life and the Bible now, but for we know in part and we shall prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And then go down to verse 12, it says, for now we see through a glass darkly. In other words, we're looking through the window of life, and some things are understandable. There's a lot of things that we don't understand in life. And then, but then face to face, when we get to heaven, when we see Christ, then everything will make sense. There are things that go on right now that don't make any sense. Okay? And in some cases, they will never make sense on this earth. But when you get to heaven and you see Jesus face to face, everything will make sense then. And that's what faith really is. It's trusting that God is going to make sense of it all, even though we can't make sense of it right now. Now, Paul uses an analogy here in verse number 11, and he uses his childhood to illustrate this truth he's trying to say. He said, when I was a child, you know, I spake as a child, understood as a child, thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. In other words, there came a time where the things I didn't understand as a child, the ways I thought as a child, I realized that a lot of those ways were wrong, and I understand things better now than I did when I was a child. And by the same token, the way we understand things now, even as adults, the same difference, actually even more of a difference, will be when we get to heaven and we'll see things from God's viewpoint. But what I want to focus on for this message today is actually Paul's analogy of his childhood. He says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, the word childish there, the way we use it today is more of a negative term. Because we say, like, oh, you're just acting childish. You know, why don't you just grow up? You're just being childish. But in the Bible, in this passage, he's not really talking of being a negative term. It's just talking about his childhood. So childhood would be a word that we would understand more in this context. And what he's saying is there are certain aspects of our childhood that we need to put away. And so the title of my message today is going to be Childhood Things. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. Lord, I pray that you'll guide me today, guide my thoughts. I pray that, Holy Spirit, that things will be in my heart that will come from my lips that will be a help and an encouragement to the students in this room. In Christ's name, amen. You know, I had a great childhood. I really did. And I think about it often. In fact, I was talking to my mom on the way here, asking her to pray for me. But my mom's 85 years old, and she's still very active. She's an amazing lady, and my dad's still alive and active. But I think back to my childhood, And I had just great memories of childhood. And often I'll call my brother. I have a twin brother that most of you know. And I will call him, and I'll think of something that happened when we were a child. Something will happen that will remind me of something, and I'll send him a text or a picture or whatever, and we kind of laugh about that. You remember this? Yeah, I remember that. And let's show that first picture up here. You can say, "Oh, aren't those the cutest little boys you've ever seen?" My mom thinks so. All right, so how many know which one's me? Let's just vote. This is points for Spirit Week or something, maybe for the sophomore class. Anyway. All right, how many think it's the one on the left? It's me. Okay, you can't vote twice, by the way. How many think it's the one on the right? Oh, wow, the vast majority think it's the one on the right. Well, congratulations. You're wrong. And I'm on the left. You say, you mean you can tell each other apart? There's only one way I can tell us apart. If you look very carefully, you can't see it real well. I don't have a little Porter thingy, but in the middle of the forehead on the kid on the right, there's a little scar. How many see that? Okay, guess where he got that scar? Hey, there had to be a way to tell us apart, and I thought, you know, this is just confusing everybody. Who? Wham! Now we know. And so I hit him in the head with a golf club, actually, is what it was. I'm not kidding. It was an accident. See, here's the problem. At that age, I could only count to three, and so I couldn't say four. Anyway, okay, never mind. So he didn't duck, and he hit the head with a golf club. Got it, gave him his first stitches. But wait a minute now, before you start thinking I'm just a dead guy. That was just repayment for him giving me my first stitches. And he used a brick, okay? Actually, it was a half a brick. I exaggerated. I'm sorry. It was a half a brick. My dad was putting in a new air conditioner in our house, and my brother was mad at me for something, so he walks up to me, and I should have suspected something when he was walking like this, but I didn't. Wham! It was point-blank range. Blood everywhere. It was awful. So I got my first stitches from him. So we're even. At least in that area. All right. So anyway, you can take that picture down. We just look at the picture and just me sit down and just everybody. Oh. All right. But I had a lot of fun as a child. Bring another picture. This is a little bit older here. I'm not going to show you my family album, but this is the next picture. Okay, which one am I? The left? Guess how my brother got on his crutches. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. Actually, it was a little kid at church, pushed him off some steps, and he hurt his leg. So he was on crutches for a long time, actually. It wasn't me. I wasn't the little kid that pushed him off. And anyway, you can take that off now. But if you want to come afterwards, I got a big photo album. It's about that thick, and we'll just spend hours going through all my photos. It's just, they're so cute. It's unbelievable. All right. But now, my first point I want to make is this. We don't need to abandon everything from our childhood. You know, the Bible says, I put away childish things or childhood things. That doesn't mean we need to abandon everything from our childhood. First of all, we don't need to abandon our childhood faith in God. You know, the Bible says, Mark 10:15, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." What's he talking about? The faith of a child. Children have faith. They just believe God can do anything. We believe that, don't we? Until we have a problem, right? Then we think, "Oh, Lord, what's going on? What are you doing to me? Oh, how's this going to work out?" I think we need a little bit of that childhood faith, don't we? And God says we don't need to lose that. Can God solve any problems? Of course he can. What else about childhood should we not abandon? Well, I don't think we should abandon the childhood enjoyment of simple things. You know, I was thinking about this. Go ahead and put this. This is the last picture, by the way. So that's my brother. And anybody, how many know what that is? Lawn chair? Okay. Actually, you're wrong. Okay. If you turn it upside down, it's a backhoe. Let me know what a backhoe is. It's like a tractor. It's got a big thing on the front and on the back. Anyway, y'all tried something. It's pretty cool. I don't know how we thought of this. But my brother and I, we had a couple of them. So we would turn it upside down. The little piece, the little foot thing that flips out, that's the backrest. If you can kind of picture all of this. And then you grab these two bars and it just lifts the front like a front end. It's pretty cool. We spent hours doing that. Okay, cheap entertainment. My parents wouldn't buy nice toys. We had to steal their, anyway. But just simple things. I remember We lived out in the country, and my brother and I, how many know what I mean when I say honk a truck? Anybody ever done it before? It's very exhilarating. But we would spend, hours. Trucks would come by our highway every day, and we'd stand up by the side of the road and, wow, what? We never got tired of it, In fact, I still do it every once in a while. I remember the first time I grew up and we had a grain truck and it had air horns on it. I'll never forget the first time a kid on the side of the road did that. Well, I honked that thing like 30 minutes. Just anyway. But that was simple entertainment. How many have ever heard of the game called Pong, P-O-N-G, on a TV? I think it was the original video game. I remember when that came out, I thought, that is the cool, on your own TV. Wow. And had these little knobs, and basically, I think it just had one knob. I think that's all it did. And on the sides, it just kind of, it's like, goes back and forth. You do this little thing, and doop, doop. Anyway, that was just fascinating. Simple life. We had a little sand pile out by our house, and we spent the hours we weren't playing Pong and honking trucks. We were in the sand pile with little trucks all day long. We built all kinds of roads. It was great. And hours and hours, my parents, we didn't have iPads and anything like that. It was just, and I'm not preaching against iPads. I'm not saying against anything modern technology. I'm just saying life was simple and we enjoyed it. Now, I think that's one of the things of life that we shouldn't get rid of. We shouldn't be able to enjoy simple things. Some people, if you're not on Facebook, if you're not doing something, exciting, it's, so boring. Why do we got to do something? A couple years ago, my wife and I went to Yellowstone National Park. Anybody ever been there? Beautiful place. The waterfalls are just unbelievable. And we enjoy that. We had a great time. But on tour this summer, we took a group up to Michigan, and we stopped at a little park, and they had a little man-made waterfall. And I enjoyed that. Now, it wasn't as nice as Yellowstone, but I wasn't sitting there going, Yellowstone was better than this. This is dumb. The group was probably all thinking that, but I was enjoying it. I could have stayed there for hours, days, months, years, anyway. So now, I'm not suggesting that, we put a sand pile in the courtyard or anything, although some of you guys would probably like that, and I'm not. You can bring out that truck that's been in your suitcase all along. You were afraid to bring it out. Now you can bring it out, guys. And I'm not suggesting that guys from our college go to US 30 and Burr and get big signs, say, honk if you love Jesus to every sinner that comes by. Hey, we got another one for Jesus. And got my soul winning in for the week. But we need to enjoy life. So, again, there are things about childhood that we should keep and that we should cherish. And of course, memories, our family, and so forth. Now, but the focus of this message today is this. There are childish things or childhood things that must be put away. And that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about here. Now, so what does that mean? Okay, in Ephesians 5:31, this is talking about marriage. It says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Does that mean you just abandon your parents and you don't care about them anymore? You never talk to them? No, it doesn't mean that. It just means you don't live with them anymore. Okay, you're moving out on your own. You're away from them. Doesn't mean you cut all the ties with your parents. How would you ladies feel if, you go on your honeymoon, you come back and you say, "Honey, you haven't shown me the house yet." "Oh, you're going to love it. You're going to love it." "Okay, we're getting ready. You ready to go see it?" "I'm ready to go see it." "Okay, puts a blindfold on you." "Oh," and drives around all of a sudden, helps you out of the car, walks you up to the door, takes a blindfold off. Ta-da! This is your house where you grew up. "Hey, Mom, we're home." How would that make you feel, girls? No, I don't think so. No. So, guys, in case you're thinking, "Oh, man, that's what I was going to do," don't do that. Let me help you out a little bit, ladies. When that day comes where he comes up and he goes, "I'd about like to make you the happiest woman in the world." Before you say yes, go, "We're not living with your parents, are we?" "No." "Yeah, okay, yes, 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 okay." Anyway, just a little advice there. That was free. All right. Now, I realize there are times if your house is being under construction, there are times where you have to move in temporarily, but not permanently, okay? Anyway. All right. So what are some childhood things that we to put away? Well, childhood ties. And again, I'm not talking about not talking to your parents, you know, not having a good relationship with them. Actually, that ought to improve or as you after you've left home. But growing up is a process of separation. And by the way, each stage of that can be very emotionally painful. All right? Okay, when a child goes to the nursery in church. Okay? Some children, it's not a big deal, but a lot of children, they scream and cry. Why? It's the first time they've really been away from mama very long. Okay? And that's emotional for the kids. It's emotional for the parent. She just wants to see her little child cry. Now, what sometimes people do is they say, a mom says, I cannot stand to see my child go through that pain and suffering, and I'm not going to ever put him in the nursery. In fact, we're going to quit going to church because I can't be separated from my child. Okay? Can't do that. Some people do, but you shouldn't. And, you know, the child will eventually stop crying. It may be 3 or 4 days later, but eventually they will stop crying. Okay? All right? But that's a painful time. Okay? Then another stage of separation is when you first go to school. How many went to kindergarten? Okay? All right? Now, for some people, that's a traumatic thing. I mean, you're still in kindergarten. All right? But that can be a painful thing because now it's a good part of the day. And then, you know, you start going to school every day. And there's that increased time of separation. But at the end of every day, you come back home. All right? So God gives you, depends if you go to kindergarten, pre-K and all of that, you know, you get 13 to 14 years of going to school and coming home every day. All right? Then there's college. Unless you live in the area, you don't get to go home every day. That's rough. Okay? Now it may be a month or so before you see mom and dad. And for those of you that are freshmen, you are really, 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 really looking forward to Thanksgiving. We all are looking forward to Thanksgiving, but especially the freshmen because in some cases, this is the longest you've ever been away from home. Okay? Now, and I watched parents on opening day as they walked away from their children to get in their cars, and many of them had tears in their eyes. Some of them were going, yes! And I can tell you which ones. Anyway, it's mostly this section over here. Okay. They were like dancing around. It was great, man. But it's a longer separation. All right. Then comes the day you get married. Then it's you don't go back home at all except for a visit every once in a while. Okay. But that's life. Life is all about separation. And then the ministry. In some cases, people surrender the mission field. Then it's several years in some cases before they get to see parents. And all of those stages are difficult. But people that are wise and want to do the will of God realize that's part of life. You cannot, I mean, you can, but if you try to shield yourself from that, if your parents try to shield you from that, and the very fact that you're here today means your parents are working on that separation for your sake. I mean, you know, my mom, I just talked to her on the phone, you know, she still talks to me like I'm her little boy. Her favorite little boy, by the way, but anyway. And, you know, Tim, are you taking care of yourself now? And my mom is from the South, so my name is two syllables, T-M. T-M. So, Tim, are you taking care of yourself? Yeah. Now, make sure you get plenty of rest. I am, Mom. Don't worry. Yeah. I'm 64 years old, but she still does that. That's fine. I don't mind. So, you don't lose that. But if I have a rough day, say, Mom, I'm coming home. It's rough. My wife's not treating me right. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. She beats me up every morning. Actually, she does. She gets up about 3:30 to go to work. She works at a hospital, so she beats me up every day. Now, so we should separate ourselves in many cases from the ties, childhood ties, okay? But we should also separate ourselves from childhood behavior. So what are some negative characteristics of childhood? Well, living just to have fun. That's what life's all about growing up. We want to have fun. What are we going to do? I don't do that. That's boring. It's all about fun. That's what life is all about, fun. Every day, you know, you endure school, but even in school, you try to find fun things to do. I remember one thing we did, we had little pencil boxes, but they were the old ones. They were like the cardboard, hard cardboard. Anyway, now they're all plastic and fancy and have little, anyway, all these compartments. But it was just, and what the guys would do, we would catch a fly and we'd take the wings off and we'd keep it in that box. Very sanitary, very sanitary. And we called it Herman. And that was every fly's name. Every fly's name was Herman. It was your pet Herman. Oh, let me see your pet Herman. But all's names were Herman. We weren't very imaginative in that respect. Somebody should have just said, I'm going to call my Leroy. No! Anyway, so you know, you find ways to entertain yourself during the drudgery of school, but you can't wait. Well, first of all, you can't wait till recess. Recess. I love that word. I still like that word. Recess. I don't get to have them anymore. Man. But go out for recess. That was great. And then the end of school, go home. What do? Play. You play till it gets too dark to play. And then you play in the dark and run into stuff. It is great. But let me ask you something. Today, is your life just a constant pursuit of pleasure? Is it all about having fun? Well, I don't want to do that because that wouldn't be fun. That's dumb. Ugh. Everything has to be fun. Everything has to be funny. You're not serious about anything. Okay? If that's you, then you need to put away that childhood thing. That's a childhood thing. Again, I like to have fun, and I think you should have fun, but that shouldn't be the dominating thing of your life. If you've been in any of my classes, we learn things, I teach things, but we also have fun while we're doing it, and I like to have fun. I think that's important, but life's not about fun. It's not just about having a party. It's not just about doing fun things all the time. All right, well, what's another childhood behavior? Not being responsible for very much. I have very little responsibilities as a child. Clean the room. Clean the fish tank. Well, I never had to do that because we never had any fish. But made cats and dogs and rabbits. And we had rabbits and a few chickens. Anyway, but that's about all as childhood. There's not that much responsibility. Let me ask you now, do you run from responsibility? You know, you have responsibility to pay attention in class, to do your homework assignments and turn them in on time. Do you do that? Are you always the one that turns them in late? That's irresponsible. You know what? That's childhood things. That's what that is. That's something you do as a child. No responsibility. Mom's not there to say, did you do your homework? Okay. You know, the truth of the matter is, as a kid, if my mom hadn't said do your homework, I never would have done it. I wouldn't have done it on my own. Why would you do something stupid like that? Okay. But I had a mom that said, do your homework. But unless your mom calls you every day and say, honey, did you do your homework yet? Hopefully not. Hopefully not. But you don't have that. You have to do it. You have to make yourself do it. Do you? If not, that's a childhood thing you need to get rid of. Put aside. You're not fulfilling your commitments. Yeah, I'll take care of that. I'll do that. Then you don't show up. Oh, I forgot about it. Oh, well, my bad. No, that doesn't work. You start doing stuff like that, people won't even trust you. Nobody will hire you. They want somebody that's dependable. And dependable people are responsible people. And if you're irresponsible, you're still living in your childhood. What's another childhood behavior? Eating food simply because it tastes good. Now, there's nothing wrong with eating food that tastes good. In fact, most of the food, 99.9% of the food I eat tastes good. I don't like eating nasty stuff. There's some things I don't like as much, but I eat because I know it's good for me. But if you're just totally dominated, your food, your menu is totally dominated by what tastes the best. You know, as a child, I could have lived on ice cream and pizza and Captain Crunch cereal. Can I get an amen on that? Okay. I mean, man, those were great days. Saturday morning, sitting in front of the TV watching cartoons. bowl of Captain Crunch in front of me. Then during commercials, I look at the back of the cereal box. It was a great life. In fact, I still do that every Saturday. I will not give that part of my childhood up. Anyway. I mean, do you have restraints on what you eat or how much you eat? Or you just Tasmanian devil laugh like it? What's another childhood behavior? Living totally for yourself. When I was a kid, I lived totally for myself. If there was only one thing, and my brother and I both saw it, I would knock him down to get to it. And he would do the same to me. Thus, the scar. Anyway. And he took my toy. Well, you can't expect that with children. We still do that? Hey, man, I get the bottom bunk. Okay, let's let him have the bottom bunk. Yeah, get your own snacks. Yeah, if you're one of those guys that eats everybody else's snacks, everybody ought to just pile on you and beat them. And, but, no names, please. That's childhood behavior. Being controlled by your fears. How many as a child, we're not going to ask you about now, but as a child you were afraid of like thunder, lightning? Few of you? Okay. The rest of you are too scared to raise your hand. How many were afraid of the dark? Okay, I was too. Actually, I wasn't afraid of the dark. I was just afraid of all those things in the dark that were going to get me. Dark can't hurt you, but all the monsters out there can. I'm telling you. You know, my most feared monster as a child, besides my mother, no, I'm just kidding. Sorry, Mom. Just kidding. Don't spank me. Was werewolf. And I don't know why. I look at it now like, that's a dumb-looking animal. I mean, but when I was a kid, I mean, that was like the worst thing. And I remember laying in bed at night and looking up at the wind and waiting for a werewolf to just stick his head up above the window. And I wouldn't even look at the window because I know he was up there looking in, watching me. And my grandmother, she lived right next door to us, but it was out in the country, and so the houses were about the whole length of this chapel from this wall to the back wall from each other, and it was woods in between. And at night, sometimes I needed to go over and see my grandma. So, you know, I would get ready like this, and then I would take a run as fast as I could, and every tree I know, there was a werewolf behind every tree, but I ran so fast they couldn't get me. And, that's why I did well in track in high school, because I've been practicing for years. The 50-yard dash, I mean, it was great. But we all have fears as a child. I was talking to, my daughter-in-law, one of my daughters-in-law, I just found out recently, she is terrified of mascots. You know the big mascots that walk around? I mean, at Disney World, she was just terrified. And I think she's so afraid of him. So I bought this mascot for next time we have a get to. But we all have different fears. Now, but fear should not control your life. You may not be able to get rid of all your fears, but don't let fears control you. Somebody said, I'm afraid to witness to people. That is a fear. It is. And I've witnessed to thousands of people. And it's still a fear. Whenever I'm at a gas pump and I see somebody I'm reaching to get a track, my hand shakes a little bit. It's still a fear. I don't like being rejected. I don't like being hit in the mouth with a half a brick. Who knows what they got in their pocket there? Cough club? You know? But I do it anyway. Because my fear is not going to control me. If your fears control you, you'll never do anything for God. Because Satan will magnify those fears, and you'll let those fears control you, and you'll be run by the spirit of fear. And that's not from God. And when you give in to your fears, then the spirit of fear takes over and controls you. And you need to say no to your fears. How many have ever been afraid to witness to somebody, but you did it anyway, and they got saved? Isn't that great? See, Satan knew if he could scare you, he might not do it. My negative thought is, I wonder how many people I was too scared to witness to that I could have gotten saved. They could have gotten saved, maybe end up going to hell. I can't lead a program on a bus. I just never have been able to do that. You know, I do a lot of things that I never have been able to do. Believe it or not, my brother was very, very outgoing, but I was very shy. Even through college, I was very shy. But God helped me. And I said, I know I need to do this. I don't want to do this. I'm afraid to do this. But I'm just going to do it anyway. When I graduated from college, they asked me to teach at Hammond Baptist High School. I didn't think I could do it. I was scared to do it. I didn't want to do it. But I prayed about it. And God seemed to let me know that that's what I should do. And I did. I went in fear and trepidation. But I ended up doing it for 27 years. And I'm glad I did. But I think what I would have missed out on if I'd let my fears control me. You cannot do the will of God if you are controlled by your fears. You just can't. I've never been on a date, I can't go on a date. Really? What if everybody did that? Well, you wouldn't be here. But Adam and Eve would still, well, I don't know if they'd still be alive because they sinned, but that would be it. The only good thing about that is sophomores wouldn't have lost Spirit Week. But anyway. Next thing, real quickly, childhood behavior, making comfort a priority. Everybody likes to be comfortable. That's just human nature. If you're sitting there and you're uncomfortable, you adjust. You don't even think about it, but you adjust. You move. You know, you may cross a leg or something, or you know, do like that. We all enjoy comfort. Nothing wrong with comfort. I'm not saying you ought to just, well, I just want to be as uncomfortable as I can. I'm going to get some spikes and nails, and I'm going to sit on them during chapel. So no, don't do that. Okay, but. But sometimes it's a priority. Oh, I'm tired. As a child, oh, I'm too tired to do that. Do it anyway. Oh. That's what you did as a child. You still do that? Oh, I don't feel like going on the bus route today. I'm tired. It's cold. You realize how cold it is out there? You guys crazy? The answer is yes to the crazy, but you should still go outside. I don't feel like getting up today. I'm just going to stay in bed. I'm allowed so many absences per class. I'm not saying you can't ever take an absence. But if you just wake up and you don't feel like getting up, that's everyday life. And by the way, let me just tell you something. It doesn't change. Okay. I'm just telling you, it doesn't change. I didn't get up this morning and go, "Wah! I'm alive." Is that a werewolf? Don't do that to me. The last one here, requiring supervision in order to behave. Children have to be supervised. If your parents go somewhere, babysitter time. Okay? They don't just say, you know, when my brother and I were that age, okay, boys, we're going to be gone for a couple weeks. Food's in the refrigerator. Be careful, okay? Let me tell you a quick story here. When we were a little younger than that, my mom, we lived out in the country, and as I said, and the mailbox was from about here to the front of the balcony, out by the road. And so my mom's, the boys are playing. I'm going to run and get the mail. So my mom runs to get the mail. Meanwhile, my brother and I, we had sliding glass doors that go out onto our patio. We had opened the sliding glass doors. There was a water hose back there. And we turned the water hose and we played fireman in the house. And when my mom got back, we were watering the couch down, you know, and everything like that. She goes, kids need supervision, especially twins. But now, let me ask you something. Is this you when you're getting ready to do something you know you shouldn't? Is that you? What you ought to be doing is, God knows. If you're only running from people, not only are you not a very good Christian, but you are very immature. Let me wrap this up here. Maturity is deciding to fulfill God's purpose for your life here on earth and then putting away anything that would hinder that purpose. Let me say it again. Maturity is deciding to fulfill God's purpose for your life here on earth and then putting away anything that would hinder that purpose. Maturity is not an age.
I'm 18. What do you do?
I'm a man. I don't think so, SpongeBob. Maturity is not an age. It's choosing the right priorities. Let me ask you something. Have you surrendered your life to do God's will, whatever that may be? Have you accepted the separation plan that God intended for everybody? That it's, I have to leave to different stages? Or are you just a child in an adult body? When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. By the way, nothing wrong with that for your child. But when I became a man or an adult, I put away childish things. What childhood things do you need to put away? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for childhood. Lord, I had a great childhood. So many great, wonderful memories of my childhood. But Lord, I can't go back to that. I don't want to go back to that. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to realize that if we're going to do your will and fulfill your purpose for our lives, Lord, there's some things that we need to put behind us. And Lord, I pray that you'll reveal that to each one of us in our lives today.